on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, third line. So to recap where we're holding so far, we're in the middle, of course, of the whole sugya about Tumah V'Tahara in general. Specifically, we were getting into the question of whether, what's the din as far as Tumah of liquids? There's two aspects of that. There's the fact that they themselves can become Tameh, and the fact that they can be Metameh other things. And within those other things themselves, we can distinguish between being metameh other foods and drinks versus being metameh kelim. So you have a machlokas tanoim. We said which of those are daraisa and which are derabanan. We had the mayor. We had five tanoim. Check that. We had four or five tanoim saying that. That the fact that they themselves can become Tomei is Daraisa, and therefore if you have a suffix with it, then you have to be Machmir. On the other hand, when it comes to being Metamei, other things, then you have Reb Meir saying it's only Dirabanan, and Reb Elazar apparently saying the same thing. Reb Yehuda saying that to be Metamei anything, even Kalim, is Daraisa. And Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon saying to be Metamei other food is Daraisa, but to be Metamei Kalim is only Dirabanan, and therefore we can be Makel on that. Then that led us into a discussion of a statement of Yosef ben Yezu Ish Tzreda, the first Nasi of the five Zugas, where he said that Mashke Beis Mitbachaya Dochon, the liquids of Beis Mitbachaya, of the Beis Mitbachayim, the area in the Beis Mikdash where they skin and cut up the Karbonis, Dochon, those liquids are Tohar. So within that itself, within Yosef ben Yezu's statement, we had one major machlokas that we were dealing with between Rav and Shmuel, whether the word dochon means that they're completely tohar on a daraisa level, even as far as Tumas Atzman. The whole concept of them being able to become tomei is only the Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan therefore exempted Mashke Beis Mitbachayef Mit in order not to make it that the Kodshim are going to become tomei unnecessarily, or the liquids themselves are going to become tomei unnecessarily. Then on the other hand, we had Shmuel say, that was Rab, then we had Shmuel saying that, no, Tumas Atzman they have on a Daraisa level, like all those other Tanoim who said that Tumas Mashkin is Daraisa. So Yosef ben Yezer and the Takanos of the Chachamim that he's referring to can't change that. All they can change is about being Metame other things. Yosef ben Yezer can hold that the fact that Mashkim are Metame other things is only the Rabbanon, and therefore the same Rabbanon who imposed that also said that Mashke Beis Mitbachaya are accepted. That was one major machlokas, and we were going back and forth about different aspects of that and trying to bring questions on Rav and refuting them. In that connection, we mentioned two other things that we're going to discuss today. One is the test that Chagai gave the Kohanim in his time at the beginning of the second Beis Mikdash, and the other, which now we're going to analyze that at greater length, and the other one is, in Yosef ben Yezer's statement, did he say Mashke Beis Mitbachaya with a test, which means the blood that's on the Korbanos that they're cutting up over there and the water that they use to wash them? Or is he saying Mashke Beis Mitbachaya with a Dalet, where Mitbachaya is like the word Mizbeach in Hebrew, and therefore it means... And therefore, it means the liquids that are poured on the Mizbeach, which would include, therefore, it would include wine and oil that are poured on the Mizbeach. It would also include the blood that's sprinkled on the Mizbeach, and also the water that's poured on the Mizbeach during Sukkos. But not necessarily would it include the blood and the water that are in the Beis Mitbachayim. So we said that Rav holds that it's Beis Mitbachaya, so we're going to learn further down on the Amud that Levi disagrees and says the word is Mitbachaya. So now, returning to the test that Chaga gave the Kohanim, so we had the pasuk said as follows. The point is, it was the beginning of the second Beis Mikdash. Chaga needs to make sure that the Eibishter tells Chaga, make sure the Kohanim still know the ins and outs of the details of Tumah V'Tahara. They haven't been keeping them for 70 years during Golos Babel. Now they need to be familiar with them again. Make sure they're familiar. So he says, like, he tells them a case like this. A person carries Besar Kodesh, which Rashi said means the flesh of a dead sheretz, B'knaf Digdoy, in the corner of his garment, V'noga B'knafay, and then with his garment, with the corner of his garment, he touches El HaLechem, to bread, the El HaNozid, to stew, the El HaYayin, to wine, the El Shemen, to oil, the El Kol Machol, any other kind of food. Hayikdash, does it become Tomei? And the Kohanim answer, no. Now, what's the scenario over here? So, Rashi explains that what it means is that Rashi explains that when we say v'noga b'knofe, well, the Gemara is now going to soon explain a few different opinions about what Chagai, what the scenario is that Chagai meant exactly. We're going to go through a few different possibilities in the Gemara. But to start with, Rashi had explained that the scenario is v'noga b'knofe means with the actual sheretz itself, because after all, if we're talking about just the clothing touched the food, then the clothing is only a rishon l'truma, and then you have to calculate from there. But like this, you say, he touched with the sheretz itself, he touched the bread, which then became, the sheretz being an avatruma, the bread becomes a rishon, the stew becomes a sheni, the wine a shlishi, the oil or any other food becomes a revi. And he's asking if they're tameh, if it's tameh, and they're answering not, which Rav is saying that was a mistake, because after all, we're talking about kodshim, and revi is able to become tameh. The reason why we use it as a question on Rav, again, is because we have wine and oil involved over here, but the answer is Levi would have to understand that differently, as we're going to say further on the Yomud, because Levi is the one who says, Mashke beis midbachaya, that the liquids of the Mizbeach, including wine and oil, are not mekabel tuma, or are not able to be metame other things at least, whereas Rav, we said, disagrees and said it's only the blood and the water that are being used in the beis midbachayim, and therefore that's not at all relevant to this pasuk. Anyway, Tosfos has a bunch of problems with Rashi's explanation. Among others, why Rashi is assuming that each thing that we're mentioning in the pasuk is something that touched the previous one, except when we get to shemen, the elkol machol, where then he's saying that those are the same thing. It means oil or any other food. Why not say the same thing with other things? And Tosfos has a bunch of other questions on Rashi as well. So anyway, Tosfos explains that what it is we are talking the garment, the corner of the garment became a rishon l'truma, as usual, when a kavi touches an avat truma. Then that touched bread or stew, so those became a sheni. The bread or the stew touched the wine or the oil, making them a shlishi. And then those, the wine or the oil, touched some other food, which became a revi. And then, now, we learned the other day, we had the opinion that midaraisa, at least, foods can only be metame drinks, and drinks can only be metame foods. So according to that, it works out very nicely why he's alternating between foods and drinks. First he has bread and stew, which are foods, then he has wine and oil, which are drinks, and then he's back to el kol machol, which is a food again. Anyway, that's Tosfos' way of explaining, and then as we'll go through the sugya, we'll discuss various other possible ways of understanding it. Okay, so the Gemara says Gufa, so third line of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Gufa, getting back to what we said before, Rav said the Koyanim, when they answered that first question of Chagai's, when they answered that it's not Tomei, that it's Tahor, they made a mistake, because in fact they should have said that it's Tomei. Or Shmuel Amaloy Ishtabashkani, Shmuel says they did not make a mistake. Namely, Rav Omei Shtabashkani, because Revi Bakodesh Ba'ominayu, what happened was Chagai asked them about Revi Latruma when it comes to Kodshim, and Ba'omrulei Tahar, and they said that it's Tahar, which is incorrect, because you do have Revi when it comes to Kodshim. Or Shmuel Omei Lo Yishtabashkani, whereas Shmuel says the Kohenim did not make a mistake, Chamishi Bakodesh Ba'ominayu, because Chagai was actually asking them about a Chamishi when it comes to Kodshim, and Ba'omrulei Tahar, and they told them that's Tahar, and that's correct, because when it comes to Kodshim, you don't go beyond Revi. So, let's analyze their machlokas. Bishlema l'Rav. According to Rav, we understand the pasuk very well. You have four things that it says that the sheretz touched. Lechem v'nozid v'yayin v'shemen. You have bread, stew, wine, and oil. So that's four things. So if you assume, again, let's work for the moment with Rashi's explanation exclusively, that we're talking about that the sheretz itself touched the food and started a chain reaction. Okay, but you only have four foods. By the time you get to Shemen, you're at a Revi. Ela l'shmul chamisha menale. But where is Shmuel getting a fifth thing? The answer is mi ksiv v'naga knofoy. Shmuel would answer that after all, the pasuk doesn't say the corner touches, which then you would say that yes, the corner is a rishon l'truma, and you wouldn't say that v'naga knofoy would mean that what is in the corner of his garment, namely the actual sheretz, is what's touching the bread and so forth. But that's not what the pasuk says. V'naga b'knofoy ksiv. Shmuel says, after all, the pasuk says that he touched with his kanaf. The beis, besides meaning with, can also mean in. In other words, b'mash and noga b'knafay. So you can say, in other words, that the pasuk means that Chagai is asking them that the bread that the sheretz touched something else, noga biknof, or he touched with his konof something else, which in turn touched the bread, which in turn touched the stew, etc., etc. So therefore, that other thing that the sheretz touched is a rishon. The bread's a sheni. The stew is a shlishi. The wine is a revi. Shemen is a chamishi, and you're good. So therefore, according to Shmuel, there's no necessary reason to say that the Kohenim made a mistake, because in fact there could be another thing mentioned in the pasuk. There could be another thing that Chagah is referring to, which is not explicitly mentioned in the pasuk, but rather hinted at in the word biknafai. Again, this is actually one of the questions that Tosfos brings on Rashi. In that case, then why does Shmuel have to be doich at the pasuk that way? Let him just explain. Very simple. But the word el kol machol at the end of the pasuk means a fifth thing. In other words, you have the shemen as a revi, and then the shemen touched el kol machol, some other food, and made it a chamishi, and that's that. Why is he forced to explain that biknafai means b'mash and noga biknafai, and have something else that's not explicitly mentioned in the pasuk? That's part of what leads Tosfos to their explanation against Rashi, that what we mean is that the sheretz touched bread or stew, and the stew and the bread or stew touched wine or oil, etc. And therefore, so therefore, you don't have enough things in the pasuk unless you focus on this word biknafai. Tashma, the Gemara says, let's bring another proof whether we can prove which understanding is correct. Rav's explanation of Shmuel's. The next pasuk continues. Vayomer Chagai. The next pasuk continues. Chagai asked the Kohenim a second question. Im yigat tmei nefesh b'chol eila. If a tmei nefesh, and usually tmei nefesh means somebody who, usually it means a tummy mess, which is an avatoma. If he touches b'chol eila, all these things, again the same thing, that he touched bread and bread touched stew, etc., etc. Hayitma, would the last thing become tummy? Vayanu akoyanim vayomer yitma. Here the koyanim answered and said it will become tummy. So, b'shleima l'shmuel. So, according to Shmuel, we understand very well what's going on over here. Midah hocha lo yishtabish. Since we see that the second time they didn't make a mistake, they did correctly say that a revi is tomei, because that's the scenario. On the face of it, you have exactly the same thing. A person who's tomei mes, who is exactly the same level of tuma as a sheretz. He touched bread, the bread touched stew, etc., etc., and you eventually end up with shemen, and they say correctly that it is tomei. So, midahocha lo yishtabish, since they didn't make a mistake. And the second question, hosam nami lo yishtabish, then we can say they didn't make a mistake in the first question either. They got them both right. Ela le Rav, but according to Rav, Rav would have to agree on the face of it that they got the second question right. Because the second question is a reveal of a tumah. So then, Maishna Hocha de Ishtabish or Maishna Hostam de Ishtabish, why would Rav insist on saying that the first question they failed and only the second question they got right? What's the difference? Revi is Revi. So again, according to Shmuel, we understand. The first time he asked them about Chamishi, because again, we're talking about that he said the Masha Noga Biknafai, as we said, that the sheretz didn't actually touch the bread. It touched something else which touched the bread. So it comes out of Chamishi, and therefore correctly they said it's Tahor. Whereas the Tmei Nefesh touched these things themselves, meaning the bread, and then the bread touched the stew, etc. So therefore you wind up with the Revi. So according to Shmuel, they knew both things. They knew a Chamishi is Tahor, and they knew a Revi is Tamei. But according to Rav, that both scenarios are talking about a Revi, how is it they got one right and the other one wrong? How is it they got one wrong and the other one right? Amr of Nachman, Amr Rav of Baravua, because you could answer, V'kiyin hen b'tumas nes, v'en v'kiyin hen b'tumas sheretz. You could answer that they're more familiar with tumas mes. They know when it comes to tumas mes that there is such a thing as Revi l'tumah. The Inbekin and Tumas Sheretz, they're not as familiar with Tumas Sheretz, which could be, some of the Mephoroshim say, because Tumas Mess is more common. There's also the possibility, I mean, Bechlal, the Koyanim, we know, have to be careful not to become Tumas Mess. So therefore, they may be more familiar with the ins and outs of Tumas Mess than they are with Tumas Sheretz. So when it comes to a mess, so when he asks them the second question, where a Tumas Mess touches these things, then they know that they know there's a Revi, but there's a Revi when it comes to Kodshim, and therefore they answer that correctly. Whereas the first question question involved a sheretz. They're not as familiar with that. They mistakenly thought that a shlishi can't make a revi when it comes to tumas sheretz. Marsha discusses a lot the pros and cons of what Rashi says over here. He discusses Tosfos's questions on Rashi and works on reconciling them. But anyway, the Marsha actually says that you could answer a little bit differently as well. You could say maybe that he mentions this later in the sugya, so it's more relevant to later in the sugya. But whatever, he explains similar to what Rashi is saying over here. We'll talk about it more later in the sugya, that he thinks that a rishon maybe can't even create a sheni when it comes. That they thought that maybe a rishon can't even create a sheni when it comes to shrutim, but it could when it comes to tumas mes. So therefore, so they know by tumas mes ultimately that's tameh because they're revi, but by tumas sheretz they mistakenly think that it's not a revi and maybe not even anything. Okay, that's one answer. Ravina omah hasim revi hocha shlishi. Ravina gives a different answer. It's not that they actually don't know revi at all. What it is the first, we can answer the first question they got wrong according to Rav because it was a revi l'tumah. The second and they didn't know about revi at all. You know why the second question according to Rav they got right is because he was actually asking about the shlishi l'kodesh, about a shlishi l'tumah. Namely, when he told them im yigat tmei nefesh, all this time we were assuming that it means a tamei mess, which is a rishon l'tumah, not necessarily. He may have actually meant that the mess itself touches the lechem and so forth. Well then, the mess itself is avi avos l'tumah, so it touches the bread and makes it a rishon l'tumah. Then the bread touches the stew, sheni. The bread becomes an av l'tumah, rather. The bread becomes an av, the stew is a rishon. The wine is a sheni, the oil is a shlishi they know about. So therefore, so that they were able to correctly answer that it's tameh, but not for the right reason. They should have known that it's a revi, and instead they should have known, or actually not, according to Rashi's explanation, it's not they should have known. The second one, Ravina is saying, they got completely right. They said correctly that a shlishi is tameh. They just weren't aware that a revi is tameh as well, which is why, according to Rav, they got the first question wrong. Tosfos discusses actually another problem that Tosfos has with Rashi's explanations over here is that we have a general rule that anything that can't be dipped in a mikveh can't become an avatoma. So how is the bread here becoming? That's why we said the other day, for example, a klei cheres can't become an avatoma. So how is the bread over here becoming an avatoma? So Tosfos says that maybe you could answer, maybe it's an avatoma relative to food, but not relative to other things. When it comes to, for example, would we say that it's an avatoma, that if a person touches that bread, he would become tameh? Not necessarily. But we could say that if that bread touches other food, it will make it a rishon, rather than if we said the bread was a rishon and it makes the other food a sheni. That Tosfos says you could say that maybe it's an avatoma for some purposes, but not for others. A different answer that some of the Mefarshim give is maybe you could be talking about there's a concept in the halachas of Tumah V'Tahara called Tumah B'chiburin. Suppose you have, for example, when they're all still holding each other or it's touching each other. Imagine, for example, you have a person becoming Tumah Mess and actually holding on to the mess. If then he touches something else that's a higher degree of Tumah, then it would be as if he had become Tumah and then touched something else. If he's holding the mess with one hand, let's say, and then with the other hand he touches somebody else, or a keli, or food, or whatever, it's going to be a stronger degree of tumah. He's going to make the other thing an avatumah. Whereas like this, if he wasn't touching the mess at the time, he himself is an avatumah, and what he touches becomes a rishon. It's called tumah b'chiburim. You have the same thing, for example, But the point, for example, a lot of times the Torah uses the expression that when a person becomes tumah, v'chides v'godav, that he has to not only tovel himself, but he has to tovel his clothing as well. That's an example of tumah b'chiburin, actually. That's an example of why is his clothes become tameh to the same degree as him? Because they were on him at the time he touched the thing, so it was all connected together. Anyway, the point is, so there is an explanation, the same thing over here. You could say the bread was actually, it was tumah b'chiburin. It was touching the mess, or it was touching the tameh mess, or it was touching the mess itself, while it was touching the other food. And therefore, you have a higher degree of tumah than you otherwise would, and therefore it comes out a shlishi. The Rambam, by the way, has yet another explanation. He says, now, according to Rav, they got the first question wrong and the second question right. According to Shmuel, they got both questions right. Because according to Shmuel, the first question was on Hamishi and the second one was on Ravi. The Rambam understands that according to Ravina, that Ravina is telling us that actually they got both of them wrong. because the first one they got wrong, like Rav is saying, they didn't know that a Revi is something. The second one they got wrong, the Rambam's Shitta we talked about the other day, is that any Keli that touches a mess becomes an Avi Avos HaTroma, Cherev Hareu Kecholol, as we said the other day, that the sword is like the dead body itself. Most of the Rishonim we said say that applies only to metal Kelim. The Rambam says it applies to anything except Klei Cheres. So according to him, a piece of clothing, a konef, like we're talking about over here in the Pasuk, a corner of a garment that touches a mess, becomes an Avi Avos HaTroma itself. They weren't aware of that. They thought it's an Avatroma. So in the end, therefore, they're calculating down to the Shemen, and they reach that it's a Revi, and they say, and they say it's Tomei, but they're wrong in that it's not a Revi, it's actually a Shlishi. They should have answered not just it's Tomei, but not just it's Possel as a Revi, but it's Tomei as a Shlishi, and that they got wrong. So according to the Rambam, Ravina is telling us they got both questions wrong. So any metal, according to most Rishonim, or any Keli, in general, other than Klei Cheres, according to the Rambam, that touches the mess, becomes an Avi Avos HaTroma. Yes. That's what I was saying the other day when we were introducing the Sugya, that you have the Mishnayos and Olos describe over there how you can have Kalim that touch a mess, and a person touches those Kalim, and then that person touches other Kalim, and all of those are still Avi Avos HaTroma before you start getting down to Av and Rishon and so forth. Yeah. Tashma, the Gemara says, let's bring another proof. Again, we're still trying to figure out whether the Kohenim passed the test or failed it. The Pasuk continues.
That's the halacha, right?
The halacha as far as what?
As far as any metal touching a mess.
So there is definitely the halacha of cherev hareu kecholol. Which opinion we follow? Whether we follow most of the Rishonim that it only applies to metal, or the Rambam that it applies to any kalim other than klei cheres, or we also mentioned the opinion of the Gaonim that Rabbi Yitzchok Misimponti brings, that we said that it only applies to the keli that was actually used to kill somebody. Well, it's all hilchos el mashicha. It's not halachas that are applicable nowadays because we don't have tumah batara. When Mashiach comes, the Sanhedrin will have to decide which of those three opinions to follow.
But for a cherev, everybody agrees.
A cherev, everybody agrees, yeah. If the cherev was used to kill the mess, yeah, then everybody's going to agree on that, right? Yeah. Okay. Tashma, the Gemara says, let's bring a proof. The Pasuk continues, after we gave the Kohenim this two-part test, and we have this machlokas whether they passed both parts or passed one part and failed the other, or failed both, the Pasuk continues, Vayan Chagai Vayomer, Chagai replied, and he said, Kena Omazeh, so it is with this people, V'chein HaGoy Hazeh, and so it is with this nation. Many of the Mephoshim explain that Om refers to the Kohenim, and Goy refers to the Jewish people in general. Lefonai, in front of me, Ne'um Hashem, says Hashem, that everything that they do, also everything that they do, Vasher Yakrivu Shom, Tomei, this isn't the Gemara, it's in the side where the Pasuk is quoted, Vasher Yakrivu Shom, anything that they're makriv over there, Tomei, who is Tomei? That's what Chagai says in response, in reaction to what the Kohenim said. So b'shleima l'Rav, so according to Rav, that they failed at least one part of the test, and especially according to the Rambam's understanding of Ravina, that they failed both parts, Heinrich Div Tomei, then we understand why Chagai is criticizing and saying they're Tomei. If you don't know the halachas of Tumah V'Tahara, then you're going to end up being Makriv Korbanos that are Tomei without knowing it, because you don't know about Revi L'Tumah, and you don't know about Cherev Hareu Kecholol, and so forth. Ela l'Shmuel amai Tomei, but according to Shmuel, why is Chagai criticizing them? They didn't do anything wrong. They got both parts. They said Chamishi is Tohar. They said Revi is Tomei. We're good. They passed the test with flying colors. So what's the problem? The answer is you could say Itmuhi Kamatma. You could answer that Chagai is not saying it as a statement. He's saying it as like a rhetorical question. If they're so expert in Hilchos Tumah, how is it possible that Kol Masi Adem Tomehu? In other words, it can't be. It must be that what they're doing is correct. The problem is, what do you mean? The Pasuk says, and so is all their Maisi Yadayim. That's not a lashon of a rhetorical question. That sounds like a statement. And the Maisi Yadayim is, in fact, Tomei. So why is it Tomei? What did they do wrong? Ella, no. Omar Mazur, Trovi, Temer Ravashi, Mitoch Shekilkel, Vos Maaseim, what it is like this. According to Shmuel, you're right. Chagai is not criticizing them for what they did right now. Right now, they know the halacha is fine. But he's informing them that I'm giving you nevuah that eventually, during the time of Bayis Sheni, they're going to be Kilkel, Vos Maaseim, they're going to be doing different other Averis. And the result of that is going to be Malay Alam Akosiv, Kile Krivu Betumah. The Posik is going to consider it as if they brought Korbanah. Because, as we find in many of the Nevi'im, that the Eveshter doesn't like Korbanos when people are doing all kinds of Averis and thinking, yeah, but I can go to the Beis Mikdash and bring a Korban and everything will be good. So Chagai wants to buy Hashem off, exactly. So Chagai wants to stress them not so, but not that they did anything wrong right now. And they're already getting upgraded. But yeah, you have to realize, though, you have to remember that, first of all, I mean, you do have in that time, at the beginning of the second Beis Mikdash, there were different Averis that were going on. For example, you had the whole problem of intermarriage. We find a couple of years after that, when Ezra comes to Eretz Yisrael, they tell him that there's a big problem with intermarriage, and they have to get together Sanhedrin, and they have to get together what they did in every city, and then deal with the matter. Malachi, who was a Navi at the same time, also talks, spends several psukim talking about this problem and other problems where the Kohenim weren't doing the right thing. So first of all, there is that. A Navi's job usually is to tell the Jewish people what they're doing wrong in order that they can correct it. You also have to remember that Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi are the last Nevi'im. From then on, there's no Nevi'im until Mashiach comes. So therefore, now is the time to tell them in advance what's going to be during the second Beis Hamikdash, because they're not going to be Nevi'im at the time to be able to tell them that you're doing wrong. So most of the second Beis Hamikdash, there were no Nevi'im, exactly. Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi are the last ones. Because the Ruach HaKodesh was going away, among other things, because there's a lot of explanations for it. One interesting idea I once saw is we know the Amshek Knesset HaGdola Davin for the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah to be taken away, and that was successful. But Zel U'maseh Oseh Elokim, if there's no Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah, then something corresponding to it has to be taken away, and that was Nevuah. There's a lot of different explanations, but that's one of them. And be that as it may, so that's another reason is Chagai has to be telling them now, because there's not going to be time when eventually they're doing those Averis. There's not going to be any Nevi'im around to tell them off for it. The Maharam Chalava over here brings a very interesting explanation from Rabbi Goin. The vote is like this. Chagai wanted to be able to use this line, Kein Agoyazeh V'chein Hutamei. Now, that required that the Kohenim should answer his question with the word Tomei. And then, really, whether they're right or wrong, he's going to tell them this line that whatever you're doing is Tomei, meaning if you don't shape up, if you don't do mitzvahs and stop doing Averis, then your Korbanos are in effect Tomei. According to Rav, then, what happened was he asked them the first question. He expected them to know the halacha and answer Tomei. Instead, they messed up and answered Tahar. So he needs to ask them a second question. According to Shmuel, the question is, if according to Shmuel the correct answer to the first one was Tahar, then why is he asking them in the first place? He should just start with the second question, where the correct answer is going to be Tameh, and then use that as a springboard for his statement about Tamehu. So the vort is, therefore, that he according to the Gemara's explaining, according to Shmuel, he Davka wanted to start with a question where the correct answer is Tahar, in order to stress to them, even the times when you think you're Korbanos and you're Avodah is Tahar, but if you do Avodah, you should know those are Tomei as well. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Now, Gufa. So now that we've analyzed the story with Chagai and the Kohenim, and again, the reason why we brought that in the first place was because we wanted to use it as a question on Rav, who says Mashke Basement Machaya Dochon means they're not Makabel Tuma at all. And the question was that Chagai is referring to liquids in the Mizbeach. But the answer is that's only if we say Mashke Bas Mid Bachaya, the liquids of the Mizbeach, but Rav holds that the Lashon is Mashke Beis Mit Bachaya, which means the blood and water that are in the Beis Mit Bachayim. So according to him, the Pasuk is not the Pasuk, and the whole discussion is not relevant to the question of which liquids are Tomei and Tahar on a Daraisa level. Again, we said that Rav had said that Mashkim are only Tomei on a Darabonon level. Therefore, the Chachamim could exempt Mashke Beis Mit Bachaya from it, but the exemption only applies to Mashke Beis Mit Bachaya, only to the blood and water that you find in the Beis Mit Bachayim, not to wine and not to oil. So by the time Chagai is asking the Kohenim these questions, that Gzeira had already been made. Or maybe even again, we had Tanoim before, who said that Tumas Mashkin itself is Doraisa. So whatever the case, whatever Chaga is asking them is relevant as far as those dinim. Yes, at least midrabanan, maybe even Doraisa. Wine and oil, even in the Bismikdash, are able to become Tomei, and therefore therefore Chaga is testing them on that. He wasn't asking about blood and water, because you're right, according to Rav, those are not those from the Beis Hamikdash are Tahor. So now the Gemara says, Gufa, getting back to, we said before, Rav Tani Mashke Beis Mitbachaya, V'Levi Tani Mashke Beis Midbachaya. We said Rav learned Yossi Ben Yezer's statement, and again, like we said yesterday, there were a few hundred years from Yossi Ben Yezer until Rav, so there's plenty of time for there to develop different gyrosolis of what he said. In fact, the Gemara is going to point out soon, there are brises both ways, not just the Machalikas Rav and Levi, the Gemara is going to point out soon, we have brises on both sides of the issue. Anyway, so Rav says Mashkev Beis Mitbachaya, so therefore it means the blood and the water that are in the Beis Mitbachayim, the place where you shecht and then skin the animals, is the Levi Tone Mashkev Beis Mitbachaya. Levi's version is that Yosef Ben Yezer had been talking about the liquids of Beis Mitbachaya, the liquids that are poured on the Mizbeach, which therefore would be the wine of the Nesachim, the oil of the Menachos, the wine of the Nesachim, the oil of the Menachos, also the blood that's sprinkled on the Mizbeach, also the wine, also the water that's poured on the Mizbeach during Sukkos, all of those would be Mashke Beis Mitbachaya. So, now, remember that we're dealing right now with two machlokas within the statements of Yosef ben Yezer. We have the machlokas that we had before of Rav and Shmuel, whether Dachon means that they're not Makabal Tumah at all, or whether it just means they can't transmit Tumah to other things. Tumas Atzman Yeshlahan, but they're not Matame other things on a Daraisa level, is what Shmuel had said, whereas Rav had said they're not even Tame themselves. And then you have this machlokas about Mashke Beis Mitbachaya and Midbachaya. So we have to figure out how many different opinions are there. The word Dachan means Tahar. Yeah. No. The word you're thinking of the word tochoin, tes ches vav nun, means to grind up. No, this is dochon, dalad chof nun. That's the Aramaic word for tohar. Yeah. So, l'levi honicha isvir lekeshmuel. Now, we can understand Levi's opinion well if he agrees with Shmuel, da'ama dochon milatame tumas acherim, aval tumas atzman yesh lahen. Namely, again, we said that Shmuel explains that the word dochon means they are makabel tumah, they just can't transmit tumah. Then, if Levi holds in that machloikas on the meaning of the word dochon, if he agrees with Shmuel, the aval tumas atzman yesh lahen, that he says, that even the liquids of the Mizbeach are able to become Tomei on their own, Mashkachaslo de Nagi Kulu Berishin, then we can still work out the case that Chaga is asking the Kohenim. Namely, you can have that all of them, that all of them touched a Rishin. Which means, in other words, Rashi says, we're not to all this time we were assuming that what Chagai meant was that the sherets or whatever source of Tumah touched the bread, which then touched the stew, which then touched the wine, etc. Now we can say not necessarily. Now we can say that what Levi would understand the pasuk to say that first he's asking them where it was in order, like we said. And they're correctly answering Tahar. Why? Not because it's a matter of Revi or Chamishi or anything like we said before, but because according to Levi, if Levi agrees with Shmuel, if Levi, who holds Mashke Beis Midbachaya, agrees with Shmuel that the liquids cannot be Matame other things, then the wine can't be Matame the oil. So they correctly answer that the oil is tar. Not because the question how many things do you count back from the sherets or from the mess, but because the wine, once you reach the wine, the tumah stops there. So on the other hand, then Chagai asks them about the tumei mess, and we can answer that when it comes to the tumei mess, he wasn't asking them where one thing touches the other. He's asking directly if the tumei mess touches one or the other of these things, if he touches bread or stew or wine or oil, what's the din? And they correctly answered it's tumei. So we can understand the pasuk that way, the nagi kulu berishin, that in the second case of the tumei mess, we're talking about that all of them touch the rishin. And therefore, they correctly answered in the second question with the Tmei Mes that it is Tomei. Here's where Marshall says that maybe we can explain differently than Rashi that what it means is in both the case of the Sheretz and the case of the Mess, we're talking about that we're starting from a Rishon, and the question is, were they aware that a Rishon makes a Sheni? Were they aware that a Rishon makes a Sheni when it comes to Tumas Sheretz? And the answer is, that may, at least according to Rav, that they weren't, and according to Shmuel, that they were. But if Levi, about his mashke based midbachaya, were to agree with Rab that they don't have tumas atzman, where he says they don't have tumas atzman, then how would it work out? How would it be possible that in the scenario that Chaga is talking about, where you have wine and oil involved, that there should ever be, that the last thing should ever be tameh, according to Rav, even the wine or the oil itself doesn't become tameh. Again, if we combine together Levi's opinion that it's mashke based mid bachaya with Rav's opinion that dochan means completely tahor, then there'd be no way to work out the pasuk, because then no matter what, the wine or the oil is always going to remain tahor. So you're right. Therefore, al kocha kashmul svirle. Fine. In the machloikas on the word dochan, necessarily we have to say that Levi is agreeing with Shmuel's understanding of the word dochan. So it doesn't mean they're tahor. It just means they're not mitame, other food, and therefore he can understand that in the first case he asked him about the wine touching oil, and in the second case he asked him about the tummy mess himself touching the wine or the oil. Or according to Marsha, he's asking them about the wine touching the something else and making a rishon making a sheni, and the first time they said and they answered correctly about it. Okay. Now what about Shmuel? Now let's look at Shmuel's opinion, where he says that dochan means tomei but not mitamei, that the thing itself is tomei but it's not mitamei other food. So now what does he hold in the machlokas of Rav and Levi about mitbachaya versus midbachaya? It's good if he learns like Rav that mashke based mitbachaya, that Rav and in turn Yosi ben Yezer is talking about the blood and the water in the base of mitbachayim. Then Aval Mashke based Midbachaya, Achrini Nami Mitamu, but Rav would be saying that the Mashke based Midbachaya, the wine and oil that are offered on the Mizbeach, not only they can become Tomei, like any other liquids, but they can even be Mitame other things, like liquids usually do. Well then, Revi Hudalai Ovid Chamishi. So then, Shmuel would say, okay, in Chagai's test to the Kayanim, a Revi can't make a Chamishi. He understands, again, that you have the Sheret touched something, which then touched the bread, which then touched the stew, etc. So by the time you come, the revi, the yayin fine is a revi, it's tomei or posel. The oil is already chamishi, no problem with it. And therefore, he says the kohenim answered correctly. Ha shlishi ovid revi, but the implication is that a shlishi would make a revi, and that is why, according to Shmuel, the second question they also got right, because they were the wine is a shlishi and the oil is a revi. So that's why they said tomei. Ella isavala kalevi. But if we were to say that Shmuel holds on the second word of Yosi ben Yezer says, when he said the third word rather, that it's midbachaya rather than mitbachaya, if he holds like Levi that wine and oil of kodshim are not able to be metame other things, the tani mashki based mitbachaya, my iru revid like abid chamid. Then why is Chagai Dafka testing them on a case of a Revi making a Chamishi and asking them whether it's Tomei or Tahor? Afilu Sheni or Shlishi Nami Le'avi. It wouldn't be able to create a Sheni or a Shlishi either by the same logic, because Levi would hold Mashke Basement Bachaya Dochon. Shmuel would say Dochon means they can't be Metame other things. So that would mean the wine and the oil of Kodshim can't be Metame other things. So then in that case, Chagai might as well ask them where the Tmei Nes himself touched the wine or the Sheretz itself touched the wine. Yeah, it would be a bigger Chiddush, exactly. And they would answer to her. Therefore, you have to say, in that Machloikas, he holds like Rav. So in short, in other words, when it comes to the Machloikas on the word mitbachaya or midbachaya, we have Rav and Shmuel both say it's mitbachaya, meaning the blood and the water, and Levi holds it's midbachaya, the oil and the wine. When it comes to the meaning of the word dochan, whether it means that these liquids that we're talking about are completely tahor, or just that they're not metame, other things, then we say Rav, and then we say Rav holds it means completely tahor, and Shmuel and Levi hold that it means that they're not able to be metame, other things. So it's two machloikas that don't directly relate to each other, but we can say by elimination that in each one of them we only have two opinions. That in each one of them, Levi necessarily has to hold one way, and Shmuel necessarily has to hold one way in the machlokas that they themselves don't address. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tanya Kavasei de Rav, Tanya Kavasei de Levi. As a matter of fact, we have braisas according to both Rav's and Levi's understanding, both Mashkeves Mitbachaya and Mashkeves Midbachaya. Namely, Tanya Kavasei de Levi, a braisa says, Hadom v'ayayin v'ashemen v'hamayim, the blood of Kobanas, the wine, the oil, and the water of Nisuch HaMayim, Mashke Beis Midbachaya, all of these are the Mashkim of the Mizbeach, because they're all poured or sprinkled on the Mizbeach, and therefore, Shenitmo b'fnim, if they became Tomei in the Azara, but, what? Say what? Which means anywhere in the Azara. Anywhere, they were anywhere in the Azara, they became Tomei anywhere in the Azara, V'hotziyam l'chutz, and then if he took them outside the Azara, where then they become posel, tohorin, they still remain tohor. Tohor in the sense they can't be metame other things because they themselves became tomei. Again, we just said that Levi agrees that the mashke beis mitbachaya themselves can become tomei like Shmuel. But he says that mashke beis mitbachaya, meaning including the wine and the oil, they themselves can become Tomei, but they can't be Metame other things. So these things became Tomei in the Azara. Now you took them outside the Azara. Now they're not Mashke Beis Midbachaya anymore, because now they're possible to bring on the Mizbeach. Nevertheless, though, if they touch other food, they will not be Metame. Because to begin with, when they became Tomei, it was only the type of Tumah for themselves. It was never the type of Tumah that was meant to go to something else. So even now, that's outside the Azara, it can't be Metame something else. Exactly, but even though that heter was only for inside, but that means, you know, the moment it became tomei, the chalos of the tumah was only in a way that it itself is tomei, not that it can be metame other things. Therefore, even now that it was taken outside the azara, it doesn't gain that ability to be metame other things. On the other hand, nitmu b'chutz, on the other hand, if they became tomei outside the azara, meaning before they ever became mashke beis mitbachaya, the ichnistin b'fnim, and then he brought them into the azara, then tomei, and then they're tomei, meaning they're metame, other things, because they weren't mashke beis mitbachaya at the time, so therefore they became tomei in the usual way, that they can be metame, other things, and bring them into the azara. It doesn't take that away. Okay, so that's a braisa like Levi. However, the Gemara says, Eini, is that so? We're asking on the ratio. We're saying that even if you take them outside the Azara, we don't say that they become Tomei to be Metamei other things retroactively. But Rabbi Yishur ben Levi said, seems not like that. He says, Mashke beis midbachaya, loy omru dochon elabim koimon. When do we say that they're dochon, that they're tohar, only when they're in their place? My lavlam uti nifmo mifnim vayitziyam lachutz. Wouldn't that be to exclude the first case of the Braisa, where they became Tomei inside, then you took them outside the Azara? Now we would say Lamafreya, they become Tomei in a way that can be Metame other things. So fine, as long as they were in the Azara, they can't be Metame anything else. But as soon as you take them out, then that tumor which was hanging around there is Chal. And that would contradict this Braisa. The answer is No, it comes to exclude the second case of the Braisa, where they became Tomei outside the Azara, and then they brought them in. The question is, b'mkoyman kamar. What do you mean? He's specifically using the expression b'mkoyman, that they became tamei inside. The answer is hachi kamar. Lo yomer dochon elashin nitmo b'mkoyman. When do we say dochon? When they became tamei in the place where they belong, namely in the Azara. In fact, Rashi says the Gemara had wanted to explain that the whole time, and the Gemara had wanted to explain that to begin with. That what Rabbi Yishur ben Levi means is as long as it was in Mekoyman when it became Tomei, then we're good. Then it doesn't gain more Tomo when you go outside. But the Machshon interrupted in the middle to ask, what do you mean, v'ha b'mkoyman kamar? And therefore, the Gemara is not giving a new answer. In other words, says Rashi, the Gemara is giving the answer it wanted to give the whole time, just the Machshon interrupted in the middle. But yes, so therefore, Rabbi Yishur ben Levi doesn't contradict that Braisa, and therefore that Braisa is telling us exactly that, that any of these Mashkim that were in the Azara, even though they are able to become Tomei, because again, Shmuel holds they are able to become Tomei, Levi, we said, holds we're talking about wine and oil as well, that they're able to become Tomei, they're not able to be Metamei something else, therefore even once they're taken out of the Azara, they still can't be Metamei anything else. But if they became Tomei before they were brought into the Azara, then they could be. That's the Braisa like, that's the Braisa like Levi. Now for the Braisa, Tanya Kavasei de Rav, a Braisa that agrees with Rav, had dam v'hamayim, blood and water, which are mashke beis mitvachaya, the liquids of the beis mitvachaim, which is like Rav had been saying all this time. The beis mitvachaim is, there's again, the area where they skinned and cut up the korbanos. Well, it's near the mizbeach, but it's between the mizbeach and the wall. Midbachaya means the mizbeach, exactly. No, with a dalad means the mizbeach. A lot of times you have a dalad and a zayin. A dalad in Aramaic a lot of times corresponds to a zayin in Lashon Kodesh. Like you have the word da in Aramaic is zeh in Hebrew. So, but on the other... And they do, sure, but yeah. Anyway, but... What was I going to say? On the other hand, base mitbachaya means the base hamitbachaya means the area between the mizbeach and the north wall of the azara, where there they had the rings to shech the animals and they had the tables to lay them on while they're cutting them up and the hooks to hang them from and so forth. That whole area is the base hamitbachaya. So in that area, you don't find oil and wine over there. Why would they bring oil and wine over there? There, the liquids that you find over there are the water that they're using to wash the pieces of the korbanos and the blood that comes out of the meat as you cut it. So hadam v'amayim mashke beis mitbachaya shenitmu, if they became tamei, bein bekelim bein bekarka, whether those liquids were in kelim or whether they were on the ground, tahorim. Then they're tahor, in the sense, again, according to Rav, means they're completely tahor. They didn't even become tamei in the first place. Reb Shimon says no. B'kelim tmeim, if those liquids of mashke beis mitbachaya were in kelim, then they will be able to become tamei and even to be metamei other things. And the reason is because we learned in the Braisa at the top of Tezayin Amar Aleph that Reb Shimon had held that in general, that with a suffix of Tumas Mashkin, he held Mashkim are tamei on a Daraisa level and metamei other things on a Daraisa level. And therefore, so the same thing over here. He says, therefore, there's no exception for mashke beis mitbachaya, because again, the chachamim can't be metaher or something that the Torah is metame. So according to him, the whole thing is daraisa, both that liquids can become tame and that they can be metame other things. So according to him, nothing doing. So if the mashke beis mitbachaya are in a keli, then they're like any other mashke in the world. They're tame themselves and they're metame other things. So according to Reb Shimon, maybe we could say, well, no, because again, in the questions with Chagai, we were talking about oil and wine. Yeah, according to Rav, that's what we said. According to Rav's understanding, we said they got the first question wrong. The only reason they got the second question right is because they knew about Tumas Nes or because it was a Shlishi, like Ravina had said. The point is, now we're discussing, according to Rav, that we're b'chlal not talking, wine and oil of the Beis Mikdash are like any other liquids, they're able to become tamei, they're able to be tamei other things. But Reb Shimon is saying that actually he goes beyond that. He says even the blood and the water are still able to become tamei and metamei other things, because he disagrees with the whole premise that we've been saying all this time, that Tumas Mashkin is Drabbanon. He holds that Tumas Mashkin is Daraisa, not only as far as the liquids becoming tamei, but even as far as them being metamei other things. Therefore, the Chachamim can't exempt Mashke Beis Mitbachaya from it. Therefore, they're metamei, just like anything else. Bekarka Tahorin, on the other hand, if this liquid is on the ground, then they're Tahor. The Gemara is going to explain soon, specifically we're talking about water. Specifically, the Gemara is going to explain soon what we're talking about is if there's a revius of water on the ground. Now, like this, midaraisa, you have to have, in order for a person to tovel, you need a mikvah of 40 saw. On the other hand, what about when it comes to kalim? Let's say, for example, you have a needle that becomes tommy, like you have in Yeshmal and some mikvah, machashin is sinah mile samara. Midaraisa, you don't need a full mikvah of 40 saw for that. Midaraisa, a revius of water on the ground would be enough to toivel a small thing like that. And as long as the keli fits completely within it. Midrabanan, we say that not. Midrabanan, you always need a mikvah of 40 saw. So, Reb Shimon is saying, when it within the mashke beis mitbachaya, we need to distinguish between blood and water. When we're talking about water, if you have a revius of it on the ground, then fine, it's not tamei and it's not metamei, not because of any special status that we're giving to mashke beis mitbachaya, but because a revius of water on the ground on a daraisa level is considered a mikvah. Yeah. Okay. So now the Gemara brings up another angle on the whole thing. All this time we've been saying all this time we've been saying that the choices are either Mashkim or Tomei Daraisa, and in that case, then Yosef ben Yehezer's din doesn't follow because he's saying that Mashkim based Mitbachaya or Midbachaya have an exemption, and the Chachamim can't give an exemption to something Daraisa, or we say the whole thing is Derabbanan. Now, Rav Papa brings up a third possibility. Amar Rav Papa, Afilu Lamanda Amar Tumas Mashkim Daraisa, even if we say that in general the Tuma of Mashkim is Daraisa, we could say Hilchsug Mashkim based Mitbachaya. We have a halacha, a Moshe Sinai, that the mashke based mitbachaya are exempt. So now you don't need to say. So now we don't need to say that the whole Tumas Mashkin is drabbanon in order to make Yosef ben Yehezer's din work. We could say usually Mashkin are Tomei and Matamei on a Daraisa level, but the same Eibishter who gave that din also said that mashke based mitbachaya are an exception. Amalei Rav Huna Breidir Rav Nasa and Rav Papa, the Ela Hoder Amar Rav Elazar Ain't Tumah L'Mashkin Kolikar. What are you going to do with then? We quoted a Braisa before on Daf Tes Zayin, where Rav Elazar said, I can prove to you that Mashkim don't have Tumah on a Daraisa level at all. Teda, you can prove that. Sharei Heid Yosef and Yezir Shreda Al Mashkin Basement B'chaya Dachan. The E Hilchsag Mirila. Now, if you're going to tell me that it's a specific halacha l'mishmi Sinai about mashke basement b'chaya, mi gamunin mina, how could we learn from it to all other mashkim? There's an exception for mashke basement b'chaya. How is Rebbe Lazar saying? You can see from that in general mashkim have no tumah daraisa. So how does it work? Amalei Ravina l'Ravashi. So Ravina says to Ravashi. Here's another question that we can ask on Rav Papa. Rav Shimon de Amar Tumas Mashkin Daraisa. Rav Shimon is one of the ones we said before that Tumas Mashkin Daraisa. He's the one who said that even Suffolk of them is Tomei and is Matame. Even we have a Suffolk whether it became Tomei in the first place, because Suffolk Daraisa Lachomer. Vahacha Ka Amar Rav Shimon Bekalim Tmeim Bekarka Tahoidim. Here, on the other hand, in the Braisa we just quoted at the top of the Amar, Rav Shimon is saying with the Mashke basement Bechaya itself that if they're in Kalim, they're Tomei and Matame, but if they're on the ground, they're Tahor. The E Hilchsehi, if you're going to say that it's a halacha l'moshmi Sinai, like your papa is saying, that mashke basement b'chaya or tohar, mali b'kelem, mali b'karka. What's the difference whether they're in kelem or when they're on the ground? Mele, if we say they're tomei on a daraisa level, and we don't hold that mashke basement b'chaya are an exception, then fine, we can say, like we just said before, it's talking about there's a revius on the ground, as your papa himself is going to explain in a second. But if you say that there's an exception carved out, minatodom, from halacha l'moshmi Sinai, from mashke basement b'chaya, then it should apply if they're in kelem as well. So this one says Kasha. Now, according to Rashi, what that means is we've rejected what Rav Papa is saying. Apparently, Rashi says when Rav Papa said his statement and tried to explain that's halacha l'moshmi Sinai, he wasn't aware of this braisa. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Hananel says nothing doing. Just because it says Kasha doesn't mean a contradiction on Rav Papa. It's a Kasha. Kasha, you can find the Teretz. Tiyufta would mean we've completely contradicted him. In fact, the Rambam does Paskin. The Rambam Paskins that. The Rambam paskins that Mashkim do have Tumah Daraisa. On the other hand, he paskins that Mashke based Mitbachaya are Tahor. So how do you make that work? Only if you say, like Rav Papa, that's a specific halacha l'moshmi Sinai about Mashke based Mitbachaya. He paskins that in general liquids are Tomei and Matame on a Daraisa level, not just a Rabbanon. On the other hand, he says Mashke based Mitbachaya are Tahor. Mitzbachaya with a test. Yeah, like Rav. Like Rav, when you have a machlokes Rav and Shmuel and Dina Issa Vehetu, the halacha is usually like Rav. Yeah.
So hard to tell, unless I'm reading you're saying.
It's true, yeah. Okay, so anyway, so how would that work? Wouldn't the Rambam be contradicting himself unless he agrees with Rapapa? So again, just because the Gemara finished off with a kasha on Rapapa doesn't mean that we've completely contradicted him. Okay. Now, going back to what Rav Shimon is saying, that if the liquid of basement b'chaya is on the ground, it's tahor, doesn't mean both the blood and the water. That applies actually only. That applies only to water. With blood, it wouldn't make a difference whether it's on the ground or whether it's in a keli. Either way, since mashkim or daraisa, then it would apply even if the blood is on the ground. So Rav Shimon would say, what is Yosi ben Ya'ezer's din referring to? Is referring to water specifically if it's on the ground. Only if you have a revius of water in the one place, there on a daraisa level, you could toivel in it needles or little forks that are used for little fork-like things that are used for spinning gold threads, those kinds of things are small enough to fit within a revius. But he would say, if you have less than a revius, then it would be tameh. Because again, the only exception for mashke basement b'chaya, it's not really an exception for mashke basement b'chaya, it's just an exception for water that's in the ground, where since daraisa it's a mikveh, then it can't become tameh. There could be holes in the ground, but it could also be a floor can never be 100% smooth. So inevitably, you have places that are a little bit higher and a little bit lower, and you can have places where revius could collect and where a puddle the size of a revius could collect, at least for a few minutes. The floor was stone. It was made out of marble, but still, even marble is not 100% flat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They found remnants of the floor in the Temple Mount sifting project. This whole thing where the Arabs within the last 20 years had been digging up the Hanabias and doing illegal construction and whatever. And so then you had a group that took buckets of dirt that they threw out of there into Nahal Kidron and had been sifting through it and finding all kinds of ancient things, including a few things from the time of the Beis Mikdash. One of them being floor tiles from the Beis Mikdash. Yeah. So that's what we're going to discuss soon is, again, we have the Drabbanon, Mashkim are always a Rishon. Everybody agrees that concept is Drabbanon. So we're going to be talking about that. But yeah, but until now we were talking about the question, are Mashkim even able to become Tomei on a Daraisa level? If they do, then they become Tomei in the usual way, as Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, etc. That was in Chagai's question to the Kayanim. We're assuming that the wine and the oil are Shlishi and Revi, or Revi and Hamishi, or Sheni and Shlishi, as the case may be. But Drabbanon, the concept that Mashkim are always Tchila, or always a Rishon, that hadn't been Nigzer yet. In fact, I think that's one of the Yod Chesdava, in which case that only came towards the end of the second Mishnah. Okay. So now, the Gemara says, Amamar, we said in the Braisa before, now we're going all the way back to the Braisa that we learned on the top of Tesdayin Amad Aleph. We had there a machlokas between the mayor, Rabbi Yehuda, between the mayor and Rabbi Lazar, and the Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. What's the din as far as Mashkim being Matame other things? We had Rav Meir saying that Mashkim cannot be Matame other things on a Daraisa level, therefore a Suffolk of them is Tame. We had Rav Yehuda saying they can be Matame anything Daraisa, food or Kalim. And we had Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon saying only food Daraisa, Kalim Drabbanan. So now, Omamah, Rav Yehuda Omala Kol Tame. Rav Yehuda says as far as everything, these Mashkim are Tame, and are Matame Kalim. So that's the question. Remember, the suffer of Yehuda Tumas Mashkin, Latame Tumas Kalim Daraisa. Are you telling me that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Mashkim are able to be Matame Kalim on a Daraisa level? Well, Hatnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Kalim, Kola Kalim Shiesh Lahem Achirayim Batoich, any Kalim that have an inside and an outside, where, in other words, the inside is used sort of separately, for, you can use the inside or you can turn it inside out and use the outside in order to hold things. Kigoin HaKorim, for example, pillows, you can turn a pillowcase inside out. Vaksosis, or cushions, vasakin, sacks, vamartsufin, large sacks that are used for merchandise. So those kinds of things. You can turn them inside out and use them either direction. So the din is with them, nitma toichoi, nitma gaboi. If the inside of them becomes tomei, all of it becomes tomei, including the outside. Nitma gaboi, loi nitma toichoi. On the other hand, if the outside becomes tomei, then the inside does not become tomei. You could flip it around and still use what was the inside will become the outside, and vice versa, and you're still able to use it. Rabbi Yehuda says, when is that talking about? When the sack or whatever became tomei because of mashkim. In other words, the implication is he's saying that's only drabbanan. Therefore, we can be makel and say this business of insides versus outsides. Aval nitmo machnas sheretz, but if they became tomei by a sheretz, which is a tumah deraisa, nitma toichei, nitma gabei, nitma gabei, nitma toichei, then whichever side becomes tomei, the whole thing is tomei. If you're going to tell me that Rabbi Yehuda holds that mashkim are matamik kalim on a daraisa level, mali nitma machas mashkin, mali nitma machas sheretz, then what's the difference, mashkim or sheretz? Either way, it's tomei with a tuma daraisa, and the din should be the same thing. The answer is Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Chaza by Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, you should know, Rabbi Yehuda actually changed his mind. You're right, originally he held that it's Daraisa, which was the Braisa on Daf Tzayin. Then he changed his mind, and then we have the Mishnah in Kalim that says where he agrees that it's only a Tumma Dirabanan. An explanation they say on that, so why the Gemara doesn't usually do that, so all of a sudden say that he changed his mind. Usually the Gemara wants some kind of proof for it or something. But in fact, in Toras Koyanim, in Sifra, on the Psukim, on the Psukim, in Vayikra over there, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha asks Rabbi Yehuda on his Shitta, and Rabbi Yehuda doesn't answer. So that's a reason to say that maybe, in fact, he changed his mind. Otherwise, you should have answered what Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha is objecting to his Shitta. Okay, so that's one way. Ravina amala olam loyhada. Ravina says you don't necessarily need to say Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind, because even with mashkim themselves, we can distinguish. How did these mashkim become tomei? Did they themselves become tomei from something daraisa, or only something derabanan? The liquid themselves, did it become tomei because somebody touched it with tomei hands? The whole concept that a person's hands can become tomei itself is only derabanan. So therefore, the liquid is only tomei derabanan in the first place. As opposed to, if it was mashkin aboyin machnas sheretz, if a sheretz touched the liquid, then the liquid is tumah and a daraisa. If we say that tumah of liquids is on a daraisa level, which again we said Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda and Reb Yossi and Reb Shimon, all of them agree with that concept, then fine, then the liquids are tumah and a daraisa level, so that's different. So Reb Yehuda could be distinguishing. So he could be saying, if you have a suffix where the liquids touch the sheretz, then those liquids can be metamic kalim daraisa, because whether the liquid is tome is a suffix daraisa. Therefore, whether it can be metame is also a suffix daraisa. On the other hand, if it became tome only from your daim, the whole concept that it's tome in the first place is only dirabanon. So to be metamic kalim, it could be metamic kalim dirabanon, but then we can make the difference between the inside and the outside of the pillow. Case. However, the Gemara says, Ihochi, if you're going to understand Rabbi Yehuda that way, then why is Rabbi Yehuda only mentioning the distinction whether the pillowcase became Tomei from Mashkim versus from Asheretz? He should be making a distinction within Mashkim themselves. When would we say that there's a difference between the inside and the outside of the pillowcase, only if it's tomei from mashke that in turn was tomei from yadayim? Avo mashke na boin machmas sheretz nitma toichei nitma gabe nitma gabe nitma toichei. But if the liquids were tomei by a sheretz, where again they're tomei daraisa, then there's no difference between the inside and the outside of the pillowcase, according to Ravina's explanation. That's what Rabbi Yehuda should be saying. So it's clear we have to use our original answer, namely that Chozer by Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind. And therefore, so there's no stira between the Braisa and the Mishnah and Kalim, because one is what he held before he changed his mind, and the Mishnah and Kalim is what he held after he changed his mind. Okay. To be continued tomorrow, best Hashem. Yeah.
You said yesterday that
one second, Avraham Moshe Aaron was asking a question first, then. Mm-hmm. Right. Whenever you say there's a difference between the inside and the outside of a keli, necessarily it means we're talking about a tumah dirabanan, right? That's exactly. The Chachamim specifically did that, so you know it's a tumah dirabanan, and so that, for example, if kodshim then becomes tumah because of it, you won't burn it. Exactly. The Chacham did that in several places. Yeah. Okay, yeah, Rav Moshe, what's your question?
So you said yesterday that we don't like to say that a Tana changes his mind. And we gave another explanation. Here we're saying that he did change his mind.
Well, that's
so
the thing. We don't like to do that, but when we have to. Here it's the only alternative. And again, like I said, here we have a strong proof from the fact that in Toras Koyanim, that in Sifra, where Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha are discussing this point, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha asks a question on Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda doesn't answer, that is a strong reason to say that Rabbi Yehuda in fact changed his mind. Otherwise, why is he not answering what Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha is objecting to him?
There could be many other reasons. He didn't know.
There could be many other reasons. But that, taken together with the fact that we have a Braisa, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and a Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that seem to contradict each other. So therefore, the reasonable alternative is to say that Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind. But that's it. We said Ravina tried to say that not. Ravina tried to reconcile the two of them. But we said that that reconciliation doesn't work, and therefore we have no choice but to say that he changed his mind. So yeah, generally we don't want to say that. That's why by Rabbi Elazar we didn't want to say that. We would rather just stay with Akasha, but where we need to, we need to.
Shka.
Good. Shka.